This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. And we continue today with the study in which we've been engaged for the past 3 times of the very important question, what does Jesus think of the church? In these preceding lessons, we have pointed out 5 things in regard to Jesus thinking of the church. First, he planned for it. Second, he died for the church. Third, he loved the church. Fourth, he cleansed and sanctified the church. And fifth, he is the Savior of it. Now today, I want to continue in the 6th place with noting that he nourishes and cherishes the church. Note the reading of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church, because we are members of his body. Now to say that Christ nourishes and cherishes the church indicates that his love is an abiding love. He provides the church the raiment or the clothing that it needs. Notice the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, when he says, "For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. That is, you were clothed with Christ as a garment, with his righteousness, your sins washed away by his blood." We are nourished by Christ by the word which he has given us. The word is able to furnish us completely unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Lord Jesus Christ provides all the needs of every member of the church. It is not the view of men, then, as we contemplate the question, what does Jesus think of the church? For he nourishes and cherishes, manifests, overflows his love upon it, just as a husband who truly loves his wife will nourish and care for her. In the 7th place, we note, in regard to the question, what does Jesus think of the church? That it is the pillar and support of his truth. Now, this is made clear in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "But these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, this means that the church is the propagator and the defender of the truth. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ has committed his precious truth into the hands of the church. You remember that just before he ascended to the right hand of God, after he had been raised from the dead and had made various appearances to his apostles here and other disciples here upon this earth, he gave to those disciples what has been aptly called the Great Commission. According to Mark's record, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, I encounter many people, sincere religious people, who believe that all of us human beings have the right to teach or preach or believe whatever religious message we like. But note carefully that Jesus authorized the preaching of only one message, the gospel. And friends, the gospel is not self-contradictory. Now, it isn't hard in any city to find preachers who are preaching messages which absolutely contradict one another, and yet each one of them claims to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Each one claims to be preaching the message of Jesus Christ. But friends, let me tell you this, if two men contradict one another, at least one of them is not preaching the message of Jesus Christ. The church has been given the job of preaching the truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Friends, no mere human creed will save you from your sin. You will be saved by Christ in his blood only in your belief and obedience of the truth.